Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Trevor Woods here from the Block M Podcast, an affiliate of the Fan First Sports Network. Here today, previewing Michigan, Maryland. Maryland is 6-4 in the season, got out to a hot start on the year, won their first five games. However, starting with a loss to Ohio State, they ended up losing four out of their last five. However, got back on the winning track last week, 13-10 over the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Michigan comes into this matchup 10-0 on the season, and they can't allow a trap game to happen on their end. But on the Maryland side of things, I'm speaking with George Gerbo from the Washington Times to give us some insight on the Maryland program. How are we doing today, George?
I'm good, Trevor. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, really happy to have you on. And my first question to you is, it's a really good Michigan team. It's a 6-4 Maryland team. The more wins they get, the better bowl opportunity they receive. Do you think there's going to be a lot of fans in the stands in Maryland on Saturday?
Yeah, this will likely be the, I'll call it the second largest crowd. So they had one sellout this season that was against Penn State. And, you know, of course, Penn State's not too far of a drive from College Park. So a lot of Nittany Lions fans did help out with that. But I anticipate this being the second biggest crowd of the season. The campus is hyping up. They've got Big Noon kickoff there. It is a Big Noon game on Saturday on Fox. And it's the first time in a long time any of the major national shows have come to College Park. Game Day's never been there. Maryland's one of, I think, five Power Five programs now that never hosted College Game Day, ESPN signature program. And so Fox's Big Noon, this is their first visit to College Park. And so they're trying to make a good show of that and get folks out. And it is supposed to be a nice weekend too. So I've been to plenty of November games where it's kind of, you know, dreary. We had those in September this year, oddly enough. We had a couple of rain games early in the schedule. This should be a sunny day and 54 degrees, which for late November, I think is pretty impeccable. But yeah, I do expect a good crowd there and a strong contingent of Michigan fans. As you're probably aware, you know, a large, DC is a bit of a transient place, large alumni base for the Wolverines in the region. Got a couple of friends of mine that are alumni of the University of Michigan or from the state of Michigan. So they turn out when the basketball team is in town, when we had the Big Ten tournament in town a few seasons ago, large Michigan crowd. So I think they'll be there in support too at CQ Stadium on Saturday.
Let's talk about the Maryland season in totality. As I said, started the season 5-0, including a couple of whoopings. They beat Michigan State 31-9 and then Indiana 44-17. However, the week after, hung in with Ohio State up until around halftime, then lost 37-17. A tough one against Illinois, they dropped 27-24. Then another close one, they dropped 33-27 against Northwestern. Then, of course, Penn State blew them out 55-15. Got back on the winning track last week, 13-10 against Nebraska. So can you just kind of summarize the good, the bad, what has made up the Maryland season?
Yeah, roller coaster of all roller coasters, really. You went up, and then, you know, big pit down until last Saturday at Nebraska. Those games, those Big Ten West games that they play, they've not historically done well against those games. Maryland was favored by 2 touchdowns in both the game against Illinois, which was homecoming before a bye week, and then on the road in Evanston after the bye week. And you know, that as you look at the West, obviously those teams have all kind of played their way into it besides Purdue. I mean, it's, you know, everybody's got a chance to potentially win that division, but they started out strong. That, man, halftime at the halfway through that Ohio State game, it just felt like the tipping, the weird tipping point of this season. And Mike Locksley said something the Tuesday after when he met with reporters after that Ohio State game, that it was still kind of sticking with him in some ways. Maryland led 10-0 in that game. They made some mistakes, which is kind of a theme of their season and the theme of their past couple of seasons in some of these games that are winnable for Maryland. And that was the most winnable. They played Ohio State pretty close in College Park last year. They led at halftime against the Buckeyes the same week of the year that they're playing Michigan this year. Last year was Ohio State before the Michigan game. This year it's Michigan playing in College Park before the Ohio State game. And in Columbus, just, you know, they had some opportunities. Talia Tungavailoa threw 2 interceptions. One of them returned for a touchdown. And just, you know, let that one in some form slip away. Early season for the Buckeyes, they'd yet to kind of get their complete footing under them. And it was a game Maryland could have had. And since then, it was just a slide into same old Maryland, for lack of a better term, that they've put up in the past seasons, where they will play up to better competition and then sometimes play down to lower competition that they're favored to beat by 2 touchdowns. What that means for Saturday, I don't know. I think Michigan should come out and dominate them the way they have other teams on their schedule this season. But Maryland has had this ability, especially at home. Take Penn State out of the equation. They don't ever play Penn State very well. But against Michigan last year in Ann Arbor, they played up to the competition and were in that game in the fourth quarter and lost by 1 score. And against Ohio State, both last season and this season, they were, you know, within 1 score leading Ohio State this year and within 1 score late in that game against the Buckeyes. So I think Michigan will have this one in control.
Now, last season, Michigan did not have things in control against Maryland. Game really went down to the wire, and a game that Talia Tagovailoa got hurt in. Michigan ended up winning 34-27. I actually spoke to Talia at Big Ten Media Day. He said he'll always remember that game. He took a pretty big hit in that one too. Somebody rolled on his ankle from behind, kind of barreled into him. And he proved how tough he was to me that day. But anyway, he said he has this game circled on his calendar. And Michigan fans know him well at this point, have seen him a couple times. This will be the third time he's faced Michigan, I believe. This season, 22 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 2,769 yards passing, completion percentage is 65%. Maryland's passing offense ranks 23rd overall. Can you analyze his season? Give us an updated scouting report, the 2023 version of this quarterback.
Yeah. That that game last year in Ann Arbor produced kind of one of, I'll call, his iconic images at Maryland, where I think his helmet came off on a play down in the red zone there, and he just gets up and his hair is kind of sticking out, and he's all, you know, super intense and excited about it. He's very demonstrative on the field, very intense on the field when you see him off the field, when he talks to reporters, and just, you know, in a non-game scenario, he's quiet and reserved, in contrast to his brother Tua, of course, who's the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins. He has improved in the pocket. He's better this season in the pocket. He's more settled. He is less prone to getting what I call happy feet, where he's just kind of dancing, waiting for the route to open. He's more confident in the pocket and with his eyes when he's in the pocket. I emphasize in the pocket because sometimes that collapses very quickly on him, because Maryland this season only had one returning starter on the offensive line, left tackle DJ Glaze. And so everybody else in front of him is new due to people transferring out of the program and graduations. And it took Maryland a few games to get that settled into a solid, you know, unit of five people there, but they are still undersized compared to some of the defensive lines in this conference. And that being said, when he gets outside of the pocket is where still now in his fourth year as a Terrapin, his third full non-COVID season, he's still prone to make some mistakes if you flush him out of the pocket, because live by the sword, die by the sword. He will not let the play die. He will not, you know, coaches have tried to preach and would love for him to throw the ball away sometimes. And he's still going to, when he gets to the perimeter, when he gets to the sideline, as opposed to just, you know, pulling the ball down and running out of bounds or throwing it away, he will still make some of these mistakes that you wish he wouldn't in his fourth year as a Terrapin, in his fifth year in college football. One of those happened at Nebraska. It did not cost Maryland the game, but he rolled out to the left on the far sideline there, and he's near the sideline, and you think, okay, he's just going to run out of bounds or pull it down, and he throws it, and it's intercepted 15 yards downfield by a linebacker. He made a nearly identical interception in the Ohio State game in the third quarter. So he still is prone to some of that, some of those mistakes. And he's done it, Trevor, in his career with, you know, kind of a myriad of players. So the two favorite guys on the roster are the two guys, not surprisingly, that have been there the longest. It's Jayshon Jones, who's in his sixth year at the program, and tight end Corey Dyches, who, you know, used the phrase tight end in loose quotes. He's slots more like a receiver in many formations for Maryland, but he is listed as a tight end. Those are his two favorite targets this year, and they both lead, you know, Maryland. Those are Maryland's top two guys in terms of yards and receptions, basically. My favorite receiver on this roster to watch is Caden Prather, who transferred in this season from West Virginia. He is Maryland's true home run deep threat target, and he catches balls that sometimes shouldn't be caught, which is a wonderful asset to have if you're a quarterback. I think they could target Prather more, but they don't, and I don't know how much of that is play calling and how much of that is Talia when the play breaks down, that he's going to go to his two trusted guys, and those guys are Jayshon Jones and tight end Corey Dyches. So he's the numbers, I think, track a little less. I've been kind of trying to keep an eye on them and, you know, average them out through the season, so much so that I've got my, you know, note card here with the last season's numbers. He was at 3,800 yards two seasons ago with 26 touchdowns. Last season, 3,000 yards, 18 touchdowns. So it's tracking to be similar, but maybe a little bit less than those gaudier seasons that he put up in the past when he had some more veteran receivers around him, guys like Dante Demas, who went to the league, guys like Rakim Jarrett, who were with the program for two, three years, and with Talia for that time. Those guys are out now. And so he's had to adjust to having some of these, you know, different guys that have transferred in and a remade receiver room in some ways. So maybe that's hindered it a little bit, but he's more solid than ever in the pocket, Trevor, but he is still prone to make some mistakes when you get him outside of the pocket. And that, in some cases, especially in Columbus, was the margin between victory and defeat. So there are still some things that he'll do that'll make you lose some games. But man, when he's at his best, he's one of the most prolific quarterbacks in this conference. And for my money, it's him and J.J. McCarthy argue who you want as the quote unquote best quarterback in this conference in the Big Ten this season.
Well, it sounds like both quarterbacks live and die by the sword, and that's what makes some of the best, the fearlessness and the willingness to make a mistake and then make up for it later on in the football game. But let's move to the defensive side of the football. And my thoughts about this and about the Maryland defense is through the prism of what should Michigan do to attack them. And this is coming after a game where Michigan faced a number one rushing defense, that Penn State had a really good pass rush and everything else, and Michigan decided to run it the last 32 consecutive snaps of the game. So looking at Maryland, Maryland's rushing defense ranks 32nd, and passes Maryland's intercepted on defense ranks 8th in the nation. And then team sacks on defense, they rank 17th. So how should Michigan pick their poison against Maryland if they had to choose one or the other? Would the pass rush tee off? That was the fear last week against Penn State and why they kind of just shut the passing game down. and said, hey, let's just go to our bread and butter and run the football. And it was on the road. The road crowd, they said, impacted that decision making, that it's easier to run the football when guys like Chop Johnson for Penn State have even faster of a start off the line because of the crowd advantage. What do you think in this one? Do you think it could be 50-50, a balanced Michigan offense yet again this season, which we've seen? Or do you think it's going to be another day where they say, hey, we're going to give it to Blake Corum, we're going to give it to Donovan Edwards, and we're just going to grind out some yards and call it a day?
I think we'll see more balance out of Michigan this week and, you know, perhaps a return to some of the gaudier numbers that they put up earlier in the season. They obviously, as you mentioned, against Penn State, they were able to, you know, just grind it out. And Penn State's a team that's going to make you do that with the stars that they have on that defensive line and on the defense. The numbers, as you mentioned, the numbers, it's interesting because they've done so. Their defensive front coming into this season, you know, looking just, you know, on paper, who they had returning, who they had lost. You would say I would say the secondary was the, you know, expected to be the better unit. And the secondary was a unit that kept them in games last year and made games closer. The secondary lost two guys. Ja'Corian Bennett went to the NFL. He's with the Las Vegas Raiders now. And Deontay Banks got drafted in the first round by the New York Giants. So those two guys left, and they weren't specifically a high turnover style defense, but they were physical and able to break up passes. Ja'Corian Bennett was one of the best in the nation at breaking up passes. Deontay Banks, very physical corner, and they've carried that into the NFL as well. So this year the numbers are interesting because, you know, you look at that Nebraska game and you had four interceptions by two different guys. Dante Trader, starting safety, had two of them, and Tarheeb Still, who's Maryland's one of Maryland's best players on the defense as a whole, he also had two of them. One of the Trader interceptions was the easiest one he'll get in his life. Jeff Sims threw it to, you know, no man's land, and Trader had slipped and was sitting on the ground and caught the ball. Not taking anything away from them, but JJ McCarthy's a little bit more disciplined than Sims was. So I think that they will have a better time with this secondary because I've watched other teams like Northwestern and Illinois target Still back a few weeks ago. He was injured. He missed the Illinois, the homecoming Illinois game, came back against Northwestern, but Ohio State targeted him multiple times and basically, you know, saying, hey, we'll make you beat us in the secondary. I think Michigan's going to have success in the run game. I don't see them grinding it down like they did 30 plus straight times against Penn State. Maryland's gone a little bit bigger on their defensive line. Loxley loves to rotate guys in and out. They've got athletes there and they've got some size, but it's still, you'll see some guys keep, you know, constant rotation on that line with guys like Donnell Brown and Tyze Johnson, who are part of the bigger package that they bring in, that you'll see those guys early in the down sequence. So on first and second downs, you'll see those kind of guys. But Blake Corum, let's not forget, obviously everybody knows his talent, but this is a bit of a homecoming for him. He was, you know, less significant part of the roster when Michigan was last in College Park. He's from Fauquier County, which is, you know, still in the DMV region. He went to school at St. Francis Academy in Baltimore, which is where Jayshon Barham, Maryland's outstanding middle linebacker, also went to high school. So I expect him to want to show out a little bit. And I assume a lot of people are going to be there from Baltimore and from Northern Virginia to come see him and cheer him on. So it's a bit of a homecoming for him. So I expect he'll want to have his day. But also, I think Michigan, probably for the first time in a couple of weeks, you'll see them utilize the passing game more, because I've watched other teams in this conference do it to Maryland in soft zone coverage, specifically within 10 to 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. You know, not necessarily saying that McCarthy is going to, you know, uncork the deep ball all day, but there's going to be opportunities where if you go to Corum and Corum gets you, you know, 3 and 4 yards on chunk plays and it's a third and manageable or a third and short, Michigan's going to be able, I believe, to utilize some of those, you know, routes in the flat and some of those crossing routes to be able to open up the Maryland defense, which typically sits back in a zone pattern there right in the middle of the field.
Well, I'm looking forward to the game on Saturday. I'm sure you are as well. George Gerbo, thanks so much for coming on. We'd like to tell our listeners where they can find your stuff online and where to follow you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it, Trevor. I'm at Gerbo3 on social, on X/Twitter. And my stuff is, I'll be having updates there, you know, leading up to game day on Saturday and through the game on Saturday. And then WashingtonTimes.com/sports is where you can find our sports coverage, and just click on the NCAA tab there. And that's where we keep everything.
Before I get out of here, Dave, let's talk about Manscaped. Every man knows how scary it can get when going for a close shave below the belt. That's why I trust Manscaped. Their newest package contains the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth-generation trimmer features two interchangeable next-gen skin-safe blade heads, the standard one. We're taking a little off the top and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also has dual LED spotlights to provide contrast on multiple skin tones, three-link setting combs, and perhaps best of all, it's waterproof. Also included is a travel case and even a travel lock feature to avoid any accidental powering and or weird looks in the airport. Join the 5 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped for all their grooming needs, and use the promo code BLOCKM20 to get free shipping and 20% off your order. Head to manscaped.com and use the promo code BLOCKM20 at checkout for 20% off your entire order. And this has been Trevor Woods from the Block M Podcast, an affiliate of the Fanverse Sports Network. You can follow me on social media on X at Woods Football, and I'll be talking to you at the conclusion of Michigan-Maryland for the post-game reaction podcast. Take care, Michigan fans.